If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 34 and find your place in God's Word. If you would stand under the honor of the reading of God's holy word. John 12, beginning in verse 34. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spoke Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. So, Lord, in prayer. Father, we need your Spirit so that we might understand these things. Father, open our eyes that we might see. Father, speak to our hearts and give us the grace to obey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus has been talking with the Greeks. And if you remember, they came and they really, really wanted to talk to him. And so the disciples kind of hemmed and hawed. And finally, Jesus agreed to talk to them. We saw how Jesus talked about living for the glory of God, about dying to self and denying self and living for God and for his glory. We saw that God spoke from heaven. And we looked last week about how Jesus talked about how it was his death, burial, and resurrection that was going to draw men to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and open their ears so they might hear God's voice clearly and distinctly and open their eyes that they might see him. Now, Jesus is still talking to the Greeks and the disciples and the other Jews that are present, and they now have some questions for him based upon what he said. And the question, first and foremost, is this. We've heard out of the law, verse 34, that Christ abides forever. They say, wait a minute. If you go read the Bible, the Messiah is going to reign forever. We know you're the Messiah, but you're going to die on the cross. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to die. How do you reconcile your death with the, "and he shall reign forever and ever"? How do you reconcile those two teachings? Then they have another question. You say the Son of Man will be lifted up. Who on earth is the Son of Man? Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to study these things. These are the type of questions that I like. Okay, so Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus is going to establish a kingdom of which there is no end. So how could Jesus, the Messiah, then die? And I just would love for Jesus to open up and explain from the Old Testament how all of that's there. How many of y'all have ever read the parts where it says, "And Jesus opened the law and the prophets and told them"? You're like, I wish it would write it down. Like, I'm glad it says he told them, but I would like the actual explanation. Can you give me the notes? Can you tell me which verses you went through? Show me the interpretation of those verses. I think this is an amazing question. This is the type of thing that I like to study and I like to preach on. And so as I was studying, I'll be honest with you, as I was studying, I was like, man, that's a good sermon. I'm going to have to go through and get a whole bunch of it. It'll take a lot of studying, but that'll be a good sermon. I'll go through and show out from the Old Testament how the Messiah was going to be cut off, but not for himself, as it says in Daniel. And man, that'll be a real good one. And then the next question is, what do you mean by Son of Man? How many of y'all have been in church your whole life and have no idea what is meant by the Son of Man? Man, that's a good one. I mean, you know, Sunday nights normally over the summer, I'll answer questions. Man, that's a good one. Y'all write it down and ask me next summer. I might know what it means by then. My thought was, man, this is really good. I really want to know the answer to that too. But would you notice that Jesus doesn't answer either question? Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, not as much anymore because I'm used to it now, Jesus used to really frustrate me. Like, you'd be reading along and somebody asks this great question. You go, yes, I wanted to know the same thing. And then he'd never answer it. Or they'd be talking about one thing and then Jesus would just apparently change subject mid-sentence. And you're going, what? Or he gives these illustrations or these parables, and you're going, like, Jesus, could you speak a little bit clearer? But what I've found is that Jesus almost never does, always never does, what I would do. I would say, okay, guys, well, let's go back to Daniel, and let's look at all the scriptures. But let's talk about, you know, Ezekiel was called the Son of Man. Let's talk about that. He doesn't do that. So what I've come to learn is that whenever Jesus would do something that I wouldn't do, I'm wrong and he's right. And that there is something that he knows that I don't know. And there's something that he sees and I don't see. Something he understands that I don't understand. So there's got to be a legitimate reason why Jesus does not answer their questions. May I submit to you, and we're going to see this from the text, it's because their questions were merely an excuse to disobey what Jesus had told them to do just a few seconds ago. Now, I was talking with my kids about this morning, and I tend to be sarcastic sometimes with him. I was like, none of us ever, ever make excuses and ask questions to get out of doing what we're supposed to do. And Kara said, Daddy, we all do that. And we do. You need to eat your vegetables. Why do I need to eat my vegetables? It's time to go to bed. Why is it time to go to bed? And I'm sure little kids are the only people that do that. We've never just screamed at the TV, why don't they do this? We all have these things. And you know what they are, though, is these questions are our way of making us feel a little self-righteous in our disobedience. Because what we're doing is we're deceiving ourselves in this way. That if Mom gave me a good reason to eat my broccoli, I'd actually eat it. No, you wouldn't. She could give you a wonderful explanation on why you should eat your broccoli, and you still would come up with another reason why you shouldn't. Are these people refusing to deny themselves and follow Christ because they don't understand what the Old Testament law says? No. This is an excuse. Are they refusing? I mean, think of how ridiculous this is. Jesus says to deny themselves, to follow him, to die to self, that unless a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. He speaks about the one who loves his life loses it. The one who hates his life is the one who keeps it to eternal life. That's pretty simple. The idea of what the Son of Man means is really a distraction and a tangent that has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about. Nothing to do with it. But you know what it is? It's a great way to change the subject as to why I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm sure none of us have ever done that before. I think of my children again. Honey, it's time to go to bed. Well, what are we going to have for breakfast tomorrow? We'll figure that out when we wake up. But I can't go to bed till I know. Well, we're going to have cereal like we do every day. Well, what are we going to have for lunch? I can't go to bed till I know. We're going to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like we do every day. Well, what are we going to have for dinner? We don't eat the same thing for dinner every day. No, you're right, sweetheart, but it's time to go to bed. But I can't go to bed till I know. You could answer questions indefinitely. What are the questions? A way to avoid the real issue. They do not want to deny themselves and follow Christ. So they make up excuse after excuse after excuse. So Jesus then starts talking, and he doesn't answer their questions. You know why he doesn't answer their questions? Because it wouldn't have done any good. Because if he explained to them perfectly from the Old Testament law and spent 40 hours straight lecturing on the Old Testament law, at the end of it they go, well, couldn't there be another way? You see, we deceive ourselves into actually thinking we want to obey Christ. And I'm sure none of us have ever said, well, the reason I want to apologize to so-and-so is I don't want to bring up, you know, what if they've forgotten about it? And it would bring up all those old hurts. I don't really need to ask them to forgive me. I mean, why would God expect that of me? I mean, why would God tell a wife to respect her husband? Have you seen my husband? Why would God tell a man to love his wife? Have you seen my wife? Why would God tell me to honor my parents? You know what my parents want me to do? They want me to, like, make my bed and take out the garbage and stuff. It's crazy. Why would God tell us to honor our parents like that? And what are you doing? You're making excuses. So what is Jesus' response? Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. Now, to put it in common English, what Jesus says is, you know what? In a few hours the sun's going to set, and it'll be dark. If you have a journey to take, you should walk right now while you can see where you're going. Because when it's dark, you won't be able to see where you're going. What does it have to do with the Son of Man? What does it have to do with the Old Testament law? What does it have to do with our questions? Who's the ones asking these questions? It's the Greeks. These people have come to Jerusalem to worship, and they've had this one brief opportunity to talk with Jesus. And Jesus has taken time to talk with them briefly. And we looked at how he took the whole Bible and summarized it in about 3 verses. Summarized the whole teachings of Scripture in something that's about 15 to 20 seconds to read the whole thing. Summarized it for and gave it to them. And they go, I don't know if I really want to believe that and follow that. And he says, guys, you're running out of time. You are running out of time. You got to walk while you can see what's ahead of you. You may not like what you see, but you can still see it when the light's there. But as soon as the light's gone, you'll never have a clue as to where you're going. You see, Jesus is the light. And Jesus is the one, in verse 36, what happens? As soon as this is over, he's gone. Now, when it says he went and hid himself, it doesn't mean he went and played hide and seek. What that means was he left the conversation, left the building. They didn't know where he went. They have one short moment to ask Jesus, what is it that you want from our lives? What is it that God requires of us? God tells them, and they go, are you sure? I got some questions about that. I don't really know that you know what you're talking about. And he says, well, you know what? This conversation's about over. You better get on board or get left behind. Let me ask you this. How many of you would want to hear God's voice? We talked about this last week. You just want God to speak from heaven. God to give you a clear instruction. Give you a clear teaching. This is what you're supposed to do. You know what would happen? Even if you did understand exactly what he said, which we looked last week, you probably wouldn't. But even if you did, you'd say, oh, come on, God. Isn't there a different way to do this? Is that really what you want from me? I find myself doing this, and maybe I'm the only one that talks to God like I'm crazy, but I do. God, why? I know that's what you said, but why? There has got to be a better way that allows me to retain a little bit of my pride and sin. I don't say that out loud. I say, but there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way that lets me maintain a little bit of my own pride and selfishness. You see, God, through Jesus Christ, had given them the way. They just didn't like the way, and so they were trying to find another way. And I'm sure none of us have ever done that before. Surely there's got to be another way to be right with God without doing what God says. Surely there has to be some other way. And Jesus says, you know what, guys? You asked for an answer, I gave you the answer. And the answer is getting ready to leave. So what is his conclusion? Verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light. Are you going to believe me? Yes or no? And again, this is where we deceive ourselves. Well, if God would give me a little bit more information, I would actually trust him. If you don't trust him with the information he's given, you don't trust him. That, by the way, is the definition of trust. If you don't trust somebody, you don't trust them. Oh, man, I know that's real deep. But if you don't trust them, you're not going to trust them. The Christian life is a life of faith. Do you take God at his word? Or do you only trust what you understand? By the way, if you trust what you understand, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight, what you see. But you see, here's what we do. God tells us to do something, and we go, what? That's crazy talk. I can't forgive that person. I can't go apologize to that person. I can't love my wife that way. I don't have time for this. I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. There's got to be some other way. There's got to be some other way. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, I believe him. I take him at his word. I trust him. Well, but then he told you to forgive somebody and you don't believe him? You didn't take him at his word for that? He told you how you're supposed to act in your marriage and you don't believe him on that one? He told you how to respond to your kids and how to respond to your brothers and sisters, how to respond to your family members, and you don't believe him on that? Explain to me how you believe in Jesus but don't believe anything he says. So what he tells them to do is to trust him. Is Jesus trying to hurt them or trying to save them? To save them. What is he giving them? The way to eternal life. The thing is, they just don't like that way. All their questions are an excuse to avoid the way. But what is Jesus saying about walking in the light while you have the light? If they will believe in Jesus, and they will die to self, and they will live no longer for self, but live for God's glory, if they will believe in his death on the cross for their sins, what will happen? They will continue in the light. And what happens as they walk in the light? What will happen? They will begin to understand more and more and more, and eventually one day, they will begin to see in the Old Testament all the prophecies about the Messiah dying, about him dying for his people, about him being raised from the dead, and that is how his kingdom is brought about and established. They will begin to understand what is meant by the Son of Man. They will begin to understand how Jesus is both God and man, fully God, fully man. They will begin to understand those things. But you know what? You'll never understand that if you don't trust him, your soul. You teach math. If you don't learn your multiplication tables, will you ever be able to do trigonometry? No. You learn how to play the piano. Sit down and say, I want to play Beethoven. Okay? You know what your teacher's going to do? They're going to say, this note right here is called middle C. Can you find middle C? I want to play Beethoven! If you don't know where middle C is, you'll never play Beethoven. I want to understand all these mysteries of God's Word. Until you repent of your sin, believe in Christ, you'll never understand. You see, God is a master teacher who is going to lead you into all truth, step by step by step. And if you want to skip a step, he's not going to teach you anymore. How many of y'all have ever encountered that, where you're reading something and you get convicted, you need to do something, and you say, not right now, God, I'll do something else. And God gets really quiet. Because the only thing he wants you to do is the one thing he mentioned, and until you do that thing, you're wasting your time. Seriously, go try to learn how to play the piano and ignore where middle C is. You won't get anywhere. And you keep going back to the teacher over and over and over again. But I want to learn about everything else. No, until you learn middle C, you can't learn anything else. You see, the truth is that our sin and our selfishness and our pride stands between us and God. And we are blinded by our pride and blinded by our selfishness. And even if God would humor us and answer our questions, one, we wouldn't hear his voice. Two, we wouldn't recognize what he said. Three, even if we did recognize what he said, we would not believe it. So what must we do? We must trust him and obey what he has told us to do in the moment. Augustine put it this way, and this is a wonderful thing you need to write down, you need to remember. Augustine said this, I do not seek to understand in order that I might believe. I believe in order that I might understand. Think that through for a minute. He's not saying, until I understand it, I won't believe it. He's saying it is believing it that will produce the understanding. Think of it this way. Kathy mentioned to me this last week. Think of a child learning how to float. Okay, you can explain to that child all you want to about surface tension of the water. about buoyancy, about oxygen, about density. You can explain all that to a 6-month-old child, and they won't get it. But you know what they do? They do it all the time here in Florida. They teach 6-month-old babies to float on their backs so they don't drown in swimming pools. That child doesn't understand anything about how it works. It just trusts that if I roll over and I lay flat, I will float on the surface of the water. What happens is that child grows. They will eventually become to understand that which they already know to be true. You ever tried to teach an adult how to swim? Oh, they can know it all in their head, but they sure don't trust laying flat on their back in the water. One of the hardest things to do is teach an adult how to swim. Because even though they know it all in their head, they do not believe it. The same thing is true of your soul. You think, if I understood more, I'd obey more. No, you're deceiving yourself. If you will not trust Christ in what you do understand, you will not be given any more to understand. I could illustrate this from many different situations with counseling. I've counseled with women before. And they'll come in and they'll say, I got all these problems with my husband. Okay? And they'll go through all these things, and then I'll say, well, you know, it says in Peter you can win your husband without a word. How's that going to work? Just try it. You've already tried all the words, and the words didn't work. Maybe if you tried without the word, it might work. No, I don't understand how that would ever change a man. And you and I've had women tell me that. That's crazy. But I'll try it. And then they call me back and they go, oh, it worked! How? How did that happen? I don't know. Maybe God knows what he's talking about. And then you know what happens a couple months later? They begin to understand that God knows your husband a whole lot better than you do. And if you would just trust him, you know what would happen? He would do what he has promised. And you know what? It'll be sometimes years before you understand why. I've talked with men before about leaving in their home. Oh, you know what my wife would do if I said that? You know what my kid, if I tried to sit down and read the Bible with my wife and kids, my wife wouldn't get off the phone. She'd yell at me from doing dishes in there. Why don't you come help me do dishes? And my kids, they would get off. They wouldn't put up their phones. They wouldn't. Nah, 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 nah. And they go, it'll never work. It'll never work. It'll never work. It'll never work. Well, God says to love your wife and to wash her with the water of the word. It says to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That won't work. I don't understand how that could do anything. Don't you understand? That's not my problem with my wife. My problem with my wife is... Well, have you tried showing from Scripture and teaching your family the truth? That will never work. I don't understand how that could work. Just give it a try. Okay. My goodness. It worked. But how? Well, just keep at it and you'll understand someday. It is all in the Christian life. Go apologize to that person. You know, if you have aught against your brother. But you know, all that's going to do is make things more awkward. To bring up the past, to bring up all the things that were done, it's just going to hurt their feelings more. Quit making excuses as to why you won't obey. I just don't understand how that'll help anything. Well, don't understand. Just believe. Trust the Lord that he knows what he's talking about and obey. Don't with kids. My parents are crazy. We'll try honoring them. Honor them? They're crazy. Try speaking respectfully. It does wonders. No, it doesn't. The way you get what you want is you yell and you scream and you whine and you act like a 2-year-old. No, that's what gets you grounded. I don't know if you figured that out yet. My parents won't let me do anything. It's because you're disrespectful. Why don't you try being honoring to your parents? No, that couldn't possibly work. No, you don't understand it, but if you would just trust the Lord and honor your father and mother, it will be well with you. And guess what? When you're my age, you'll understand now why it works. I used to not understand why my parents wouldn't let me do so much stuff. Now I wonder why they let me do anything. Why? What happens? You believe in order that you might understand. So the question of this whole thing is very simple. Will you trust and obey? That's it. I don't understand why God says I have to confess my sins. That doesn't make sense. It will never make sense until you do. I don't understand why I have to be baptized. You know what? You'll never understand until you are. And even then, it may be years later before you fully grasp the meaning. You know, it is amazing to me. I will understand this is what God wants of me, and I'll do it. And I go, God, I don't know why you told me to do that. I don't know why you wrote that down. I still don't think that was any good. And then years later, I look back and I go, wow. The wisdom of God. Why couldn't I see that? Because when you live in unbelief, you can't see anything. When you refuse to deny self and trust the Lord, you are blinded by your pride. And I don't know if you know this or not, but blind people can't see. The way your eyes are opened is you come to Christ in simple faith. People who have questions about their sin, people talk to me and they're guilty. And they have great conviction. And they go, how could God forgive me? I say, well, because Christ died for your sin. But how could that do anything? Because Christ died for your sin is the only answer I got. You either believe it or you don't. You know what happens when people believe it? The burden lifts. And you know what? Many years later, I still don't really understand it. But I know it to be true. You know, I'm not a mechanic. I do not understand how my car works. But if I put the key in it, it starts up and drives. And I don't need to understand it until it breaks and I find somebody that does understand it. I don't understand electricity. But I know if I plug little prongs in the wall, it'll work. So much of our life we do not understand. We take by faith. God comes and says, my son died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. We go, yeah, but I don't understand it. So I won't believe. I won't trust. Repent and be baptized. I don't understand why repentance. Why is that necessary? Why should I be baptized? Why should I? Do you believe with the life that you have? Because if you don't, the sun will set. You know, and I don't know the exact speed, and I'm not a scientist, but you know, if you go west and you keep going west, the sun will never set if you go the right speed. If you just keep going west at the same speed, the sun will always be overhead. It will. But you know what happens if you stop for a couple hours? The sun will pass you by. The same as the Christian life. God will come and he will reveal to you what you must do. He wrote it down for you. It's in his word. And it may be in your own personal devotional time. It may be in a sermon. It may be listening to the radio. It may be in a Sunday school class. And you'll read and you go, I got a lot of questions about that. You know what? The light's going to keep going with or without you. Imagine a boat getting ready to set sail. The captain says, all aboard. Captain, I don't understand how this boat floats. Well, buddy, you either believe it floats or you get left behind. What I've seen from so many people is they want to keep one foot on the boat and one foot on the shore. And I've talked with people constantly, and they'll come to me, some of them for years on end. Years on end. Preacher, I just don't understand. Preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. Get on board or get left. That's Jesus' answer to the Greeks. You either accept it by faith or you're left in darkness. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. You either believe it, you pass on by. Christ has commanded you to do many things, to profess him openly, to follow him in baptism. He's commanded you to love your wife, to disciple your kids, to respect your husband, to honor your parents. He's commanded you to do many things, to go to the ones that you've wronged and ask for forgiveness, to reconcile with your brother. Do it quickly. He's commanded you to do many things. And you either get on board or you're going to be left in darkness. You have to talk with people before. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do, preacher. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, have you apologized to so-and-so? No, but that has nothing to do with this decision I'm making right now. I just feel so in the dark. Well, maybe if you believed the light, you wouldn't be in the darkness right now. Maybe if you did what God told you to do on this, He would reveal His way for the next thing. If you haven't noticed, that's the way all of life is. I want to learn to read, but I don't want to learn the alphabet. Good luck. Learn the alphabet, and then you learn to read. You want God to reveal His way to you. You want some illumination. You want some light on your journey. But you won't do what God has told you to do. Good luck. Good luck. So the question that comes in conclusion as Jesus walks away from the Greeks is, will you believe what He's told you to do? Will you trust that He knows, even when you don't understand, He understands what He's asking you to do? Will you trust He knows best as opposed to trusting yourself? Will you do what He has called you to do? Will you repent of your sin? Will you believe in Christ? Christian, will you do what He's commanded you to do? I just don't understand it. Believe in order that you might understand. I don't understand how Peter walked on the water. Neither did Peter. But he believed the Lord and stepped out. Would you trust Him? Would you obey Him?